Hi, and welcome to another part in our series, Start Your Own Business. We're excited to talk today about what management accounts are. And if you are anything like I am, you're going to be very interested in listening to what Dana has to say. I'm Catherine Young. By now, you know me well. I'm the owner of Thinkroom Consulting. But much more importantly, our distinguished guest in studio, Dana, welcome.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Happy to be here.
Fantastic. Would you kindly just give us a little bit of background about who you are, where you come from?
Brilliant. Right. Catherine, as Catherine mentioned, my name is Dana Pretorius. I'm all the way from Cape Town. I'm a chartered accountant by profession and an entrepreneur by heart. A little bit more background of how my studies and experience work. So I studied all the way there in Stellenbosch. And then I worked in an audit firm called Baker Tilly Greenwood, chartered accountants. And obviously passed all my board exams, got to do the chartered accountant profession test, etc. And then I'm also co-founder of a consulting firm called Outsource CFO, as well as a co-founder of a tourism company. And that in short is me.
Fantastic. So welcome in studio. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that many entrepreneurs really battle with. It may sound very simplistic to you, but I think it's very important that we talk about management accounts, what they are, what their objectives are, because many entrepreneurs, as you would well know, start businesses, but they love their product or they love their service, and they really are not or don't have the accounting background required to really understand management accounts and what to do with them. So what are management accounts?
Now, Catherine, management accounts is very simple. So imagine that you're a director of a company and you have your boardroom meetings. Those pack of reports that your accountant bring to you on a monthly basis, that's basically your management accounts.
Right.
So your management accounts are actually just a summary of your accounting performance.
Yeah.
And as business owner, when you have those boardroom meetings, you go through those management accounts.
Yeah.
So, and you study it and use those management accounts to make business decisions.
Yeah.
So in order to improve and evolve your business, you do need to look at the historics, and that's what management accounts are.
Right.
For.
And Dana, so what's your suggestion? How often is it a monthly thing? What should SMEs look out for? Is it monthly? Is it quarterly? Depending on the size of their businesses, help us out.
Catherine, to tell you the truth, I've seen a lot of businesses where they neglect to do their management accounts on a monthly basis, and they just wing it and go on with their businesses without looking at it.
Yeah.
By the end, they're in a situation where they don't really have an idea how they performed in their business, and they run into cash flow problems, etc., etc. So from an internal financial control perspective for any business owner, it's so crucial to have management accounts prepared on a monthly basis, and then sit with your financial advisors or your team to really analyze it.
Yeah.
Sit down with it, learn how to interpret it, and then make informed business decisions using management accounts.
I absolutely love what you're saying. I think it's important what Dana's saying. So regardless of the fact you're maybe a $100,000 business or a multi-million dollar business, management accounts are important. And I think if you're small, what I've learned in the SMEs that we work with also is that get into the habit of learning how they work, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Are you finding the same?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. So, okay, for the listeners, what are management accounts? Give us what they consist of, that pack.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right, so it's mainly your accounting documents that's being put in a management pack. It consists of mainly three very important statements. The first one is called an income statement. The second one is called a balance sheet statement. And the third one is called a cash flow statement.
Mm.
And all three of them have different purposes and uses.
Mm. You make me think back to my last year in school when the cash flow statement at that stage to me was a very theoretical piece of paper.
Yeah.
But today as an entrepreneur, I think I'm the expert on cash flow statements,
Brilliant.
To be honest. Okay, so let's delve into this. Income statement. Explain that to us.
Income statement. Income statement's always for a period ended. So most businesses, it's for a 12-month period, which reflects most of you guys a year of performance, right? A little bit more about the layout of an income statement. Mm. So you see that document that's in front of you, it starts with your sales line item. Mm. And that's normally your income statement. So it normally goes from top to bottom. We've got sales in front and above and then the net profit below. So it's very simplistic. You get the sales, you get cost of sales, gross profit, other income, and then you get your operating expenditure, and then you get your profit before tax, and then you get your tax, and then you get your profit after tax. Mm, mm.
So I like what you're saying, and I just want to go into that into a little bit of detail. So sales, obviously, is that your revenue? That's what you make? That's the invoices you send out work you've done?
Yeah.
Okay. The cost of sales, can you explain that to us in a little bit more detail?
Brilliant. So cost of sales, let's say you might be in a product type of business or service type of business. Mm. Let's say if you were in a product type of business, obviously before you were able to make a sale, you had to sell goods. So the goods that you've sold, that basically gets reflected into your cost of sales. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are a service provider and you bill your hours in there, there might be even costs that you incur for cost of sales in that part there. Mm. So it might be reflected there as well. So it's not uncommon for services company to have cost of sales as well.
And I want to elaborate a little bit further to make sure that we use an example so that the viewers can understand this. So let's use the cost of sale example then for a product business.
Brilliant.
Let's use anything, apples, right?
Brilliant.
Okay, can you explain that to us in an example?
Brilliant. So it all comes down through to stock and cost of sales.
Right.
So let's say you're a vendor and you're doing deliveries of apples and you're taking it from the farm to the shopping center and where they sell it. Right.
Yeah.
So let's say someone else is farming and you're buying the apples from them.
Yeah.
So initially when you buy the apples are going to be raw materials in your accounting records.
Right.
Now, raw materials, that in other way, that falls under the category stock.
Yes.
So you're definitely going to have like an opening stock value.
Right.
So if you're starting trading today, you obviously haven't, that period, you don't have any opening stock.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
But if you started, and if during the month, let's say this month, I'm going to start trading with my apples and going to take it to the shops and so.
Yes.
When I buy these apples from a farmer, that is going to be purchases, for the specific month.
Right.
Now, those purchases is calculated in cost of sales. But remember now, all the apples that I've bought for a specific month, I didn't sell
of course.
Them, right?
Of
There's
course.
A lot of apples that are left over for the next month.
Right.
So that's in essence is actually just your
closing stock.
Right.
For that month and then
for
the opening
month.
Stock for
right.
the next month.
So cost of sales is actually your opening stock, the apples that you had, plus all the apples that you've purchased, minus the rotten apples that you got rid of.
Sure.
And then minus the closing stock, and then you've got the amount of apples that you've sold.
Fantastic.
And that's basically the cost.
Fantastic. Thank you for explaining that. And then obviously, if you buy the apple at 20 cents and you sell the apple at $1, the 80 cents in between is gross profit.
Definitely, that's gross profit.
Cool. Now let's go one level down into the operating expenses.
Brilliant. Okay, operating expenditure normally get split in between all the expenditure that you incur in your business. Remember now, operating expenditure is not capital expenditure, right? Capital expenditure is, for instance, in our example of the guy taking the apples to market. Mm. If you've got a motor vehicle and you bought that motor vehicle, that delivery van is of capital nature, so it won't reflect in your income statement, right? So operating expenses. Let's rather use an example. Let's use the previous example that we've used. We are a delivery company and we deliver apples from the farm to the retail shop.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, very important. The van, the motor vehicle van, that is of capital nature, right?
So the one that you bought.
The one that you bought,
yes.
Right. That is not operating expenditure. The capital van will go under the balance sheet. Remember now, we focus on the income statement, operating expenditure, remember. Okay, but very important, the fuel that you put into the van, that is an example of operating expenditure.
Yeah, yeah.
The depreciation on the van, as the van reduces its value over a period of time, that's also operating expenditure. Remember, we said we're delivering apples. That's our produce that we are selling. Obviously, you want to market your apples. So the marketing expenses is also going to be operating expenditure and your salaries and all of those you'll get in your operating
expenses. So the boxes that you pack your apples into, the people who load, who are the salary, the guy who drives the fuel into the car. But if I rent a van, because I have too many orders, I should be so lucky. If I rent a van and it's not my own, would that be an operating expense?
Then you go a little bit more in detail. Yeah. If you're renting it, but the ownership is still the guy that's renting it to you, then we call it an operating lease agreement.
Right.
So you're going to have an operating expense. He's going to, perhaps it's your uncle, and he says, listen, you can use my van for $500 a month or so.
Right.
Then you're going to have $500 rent in your operating expenditure for the month.
Got it. Fabulous. I'm learning. Now I have sales, I have cost of sales, I get to gross profit. I now take off all my operating expenses. And if you're a good SME, like we should be, we will manage operating expenses. Then we get to profit before tax. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Now what happens?
The profit before tax is, in essence, Catherine, as you just mentioned, it's getting closer to what your bottom line is what is your accounting profit for a specific period.
Yeah.
Now, profit before tax is normally the amount that we use when your tax practitioner use. When he calculate your taxes, he takes that profit before tax into consideration when calculating your tax.
Yeah.
So that's the last step just before we deduct the taxes on your profits to get or to the end, your profit after tax. And that's an indication of your performance of your business.
Fantastic. So I know that we have another video that we recorded that speaks about the specific thing of tax evasion versus tax avoidance. But I just want to briefly bring this in here. So many governments throughout Africa want small businesses to practice tax avoidance, not tax evasion, which is the illegal part, but tax avoidance. Are there two or three tips that you can give to the audience to understand how to avoid paying too much tax?
A big problem that a lot of SMEs does is when they run their business through in their own companies, then they sometimes forget about all those business expenses they incur in their own personal names and that they incur of their own personal bank accounts.
Yeah. So taking the client for tea or coffee or lunch or paying for the stuff for stuff.
Yeah, or paying for marketing brochures with your credit card, but it's on behalf of the business.
Yes.
So very important, go talk with your accountant, summarize your personal bank statements and identify all those expenses that wasn't for personal usage, but was actually for business purposes.
Mm.
Now, bring all those transactions into your business accounts.
Mm.
And you can do that via business loan with you as the owner, right? Mm. By bringing in these expenses into your accounting records, you've got a better true reflection of your actual performance.
Of course, and actual costs,
And then you also got the chance to deduct those expenses for tax as well, making your profit a lot less.
Got it. Really, that is really grateful. I'm really grateful for that explanation. Okay, so just in conclusion, definitions of income statement at a high level, can you just wrap on sales, cost of sales, gross profit, etc.?
Right, the quick definitions of all the items in the income statement. Let's start from the top, sales. Now, sales is your revenue that you generated. So if you're a product-based company and you've sold some of your products, then obviously you're gonna have revenue out of all those products that you've sold. If you're a service-based company and you bill your hours for a living, then those billable hours, the money that you get from that, the revenue will become part of the sales there.
Yeah.
Cost of sales, obviously if you're a product-based company and you sell products, that's basically all the expenses that you've incurred to be able to sell this sale. So it's the cost price of your product that you've sold.
Yeah.
Okay. Then operating expenditure, just quickly going through that. So that's all the expenses that you can expect to incur during a 12-month period. Remember, it's not capital of nature, so you can look for selling expenses, you can look for your salaries, you can look for rent, you can look for other overhead expenses that you incur a month, and that's like a summary of all your operating expenditure.
Yeah.
Then we get just to the profit before tax. That's basically sales minus the gross profit minus the operating expenditure. Then you get the net profit before tax. And then here on in the bottom, you get the tax amount, which get deducted from everything. And then in the end of it all, the bottom line is your net profit after tax.
Fantastic. I really appreciate that. Now let's go into the balance sheet. And for those who are watching, now I'm going to pay attention because I get confused sometimes with the balance sheet. Talk to us about the balance sheet. What is it?
Let's use an example when we talk about the balance sheet. Same one that we've used previously. Remember, we're doing delivery of produce. Okay. But before you were able to really deliver apples from point A to point B, you had to use transportation. In this situation or scenario, let's say you bought an asset, you bought a vehicle, right?
So you have now a delivery van.
Yeah, you have a delivery van to take you from point A to point B.
Right.
That delivery van is called basically an asset when it comes to in your balance sheet. Now, a quick thing, the importance of a balance sheet, just to summarize it, a balance sheet is basically assets and equals all your equity.
Yeah.
Plus liabilities.
Understand.
That's the equation that we use to perform the balance sheet.
Right.
It gets its name from balance, which means that all your assets gives you a total, needs to balance with all your equity plus liabilities. Yes. And those two need to balance all the
Just
time.
Just for the record, at school mine never balanced. Okay, you're right. Okay, cool.
Right, so we've discussed now assets. Quick assets is an example for assets is like a delivery van. If you have stock in your books, then obviously the raw material that you've got from at the end of the month, that is also stock, that inventory that also comes under assets. And then you also have your cash in the bank, the money that you have in the bank, that also comes in assets. And all the people that still owes you money, that's like the debtors, that also goes to
into
assets.
Yes.
Now, let's move a little bit away from assets and we look at equity. If you're a private company and you have friends that put money into this business with you, then you've issued them with shares to say, listen, guys, here's your shares in my business. All of that gets reflected in under your equity under share capital.
Yes.
Right. So the shares that you've issued to them.
Yes.
Okay. Just under share capital, still under equity, we've got retained income. That's the accumulative performance of your income statements.
So that's the profit right at the bottom you spoke about, after tax, right?
Yes.
That comes over into the balance sheet.
To the balance sheet, right. Just to show you how the income statement and the balance sheet talk to each other, right? So the retained income is also in under equity. And then underneath you get the liabilities. So that's everything that the company owes to other people. So it might be creditors that you owe money, or you might have a loan from a bank to have financed the motor vehicle that you've purchased that will be reflected on the liabilities.
Okay, I love how in preparation of today, you were explaining the balance sheet of saying what an entity owes, what an entity is, what an entity owns, what an entity owes, and what the owners claim.
Yes.
Right? So in summary, that's what you're saying.
That's basically a summary of the balance sheet.
Okay. Yes. So very good advice. Balance sheets then, let me see if I have listened to what you said. It's assets equals your equity and your liabilities.
Definitely.
Right? Great. I should go retake my school test at in my last year at school. Okay, fantastic. Inventory. Now, inventory obviously sits on your balance sheet.
Yes.
Right? Mm. It's one of your assets because this is money you've spent, but it's stock that you have in hand. Talk to us about the measurement of inventory.
Right. Quickly, inventory is a difficult topic. A lot of SMEs struggle with the topic. So visually, we're going to take you through how inventory goes through the cycle, through the balance sheet, all the way to the income statement.
Right.
And in essence, we're able to measure it.
Right.
So best placed way to explain it is using our scenario again, back to the apples. Okay, so let's say you've started last month, then there were apples left last month, and now this month you're starting already with a few apples, okay? That's your opening stock, opening stock of all the apples that you've got available for this month.
Okay. And now, it sits on your balance sheet?
It sits on your balance sheet as under stock under the balance sheet.
Okay.
Then you see that there's a lot of demand for your apples, and the opening stock that you have of apples wouldn't be sufficient to supply for the demand of all the apples. So you made a quick calculation and you made a decision to go and buy more apples. Now that purchase of those apples, that goes and lies under the income statement. But in essence, you now have the opening apples that you had plus all the apples that you've bought, right? Now the whole month comes and you go sell your apples, and it's month end and you go and count the leftover apples. Then you're in a position to determine what's the closing amount of apples that you've got available, and that's basically your closing stock.
Right.
Okay, so you've got your opening stock, you've got what you've purchased during the month, you've got your closing stock at the end of the month. Now, to determine what you've sold, obviously what you've sold must be the movement between all these amounts. And that is, in essence, the cost of sales that goes to your income statement. The closing stock, the amount of apples that you've got left over, goes and sits there under current assets in your balance sheet. Remember, current assets are very liquid assets. So liquid means that you are expecting to sell it off within a 12-month period or very sooner than later. Right?
Yeah.
And that's, in essence, where stock lies in the balance sheet.
Okay, I absolutely love that explanation. I actually was able to follow you all the way. So what about services companies? Their inventory management would be less onerous.
Yeah, so you it wouldn't be uncommon for services company not to have any inventory, or perhaps not to have any cost of sales on the income statement. If you're a services company, you're perhaps a technician or you use tools and so, and it some of those tools might fall under property, plant, and equipment rather than tools than stock. So it's not necessary for you to account for stock if you're in the services industry, but there might be situations for that.
Got it. Love that. Okay, so just lastly, we are showing on the screen currently an example of an income statement, and I know that we have a specific topic that will delve into the absolute detail of this. So can you just introduce this topic?
Brilliant. So what you see in front of you is basically the income statement. I just wanted to give you an idea as the viewers how income statement look for when preparing your own one. You know what to look be on the lookout for, and this is in essence your income statement. As you can read it, the layout, basically you've got two columns on the right. For instance, in our scenario, we've got 2014, 2013. Remember there on the top it reads income statement for a period ended. So that just means that this income statement is only for performance for a specific period, which is reflected in these financials. So in essence, we're actually comparing the 2014 performance for that 12 months with 2013 performance for that 12 months. And we start with a layout as previously discussed, going all the way from income to profit.
Got it. Fantastic. And make sure to check out our video on this in much more detail, explaining to you how to navigate the income statement in a lot of detail. And then the same, can we just introduce the balance sheet at a high level?
Brilliant. Balance sheet, a little bit more thorough than the income statement. So this is the position on a specific period of time. It's not like an income statement that only covers a certain period. It's the position of your business on a specific period of time. Okay. Now, as you can see on the presentation, we start with the assets on top. Okay. That's everything that the company owns and controls. Then we've got equity there in the middle. That's where all your shareholders are looking at what are their share capital in the business and what's a retained income in the business. And then you've got the liabilities. That liabilities is everything that the company owes to other people. And everything is reflected there. Remember, balance sheet needs to balance. So all the assets, everything summarized there, equals all the equity plus the liabilities.
Okay, fantastic. And then lastly, the cash flow statement. Now, we haven't spoken about that in as much detail as the other two, but can you talk to us about the cash flow statement?
Brilliant. The cash flow statement, remember, when I start speaking about the cash flow statement, I just want to say cash is king for any business. So it's so important to understand this. The cash flow statement is actually just a summary of your bank statements of what money do you have in the bank available, right? So in essence, it starts with operating cash flow from operations. Those figures you get from your income statement for a specific period of time. Then you have changes in that operating cash flow from there, and then you see later on you've got cash flow from investment activities. So for instance, if you've bought a motor vehicle delivery van cash, on cash, 100% cash, then you will see that there will be an outflow of cash under cash flow from investing activities.
Yeah.
And then lastly, if you've got finance from an uncle also that have a lend money to you and you've borrowed that from him, then the funds that he have given you would be a cash inflow in your business. So what you get from your operations plus the movement in your investment in your in your assets, and then minus, if there's of minus or plus the any movements in your financing agreement, is going to give you your cash and that the movement for the period. And then we always started with what's your opening cash value, money in the bank. With all these movement that we've just discussed, equals basically the cash that we've got in the end of a month. In our bank balance.
Sure. That really helps. I think for SMEs out there, cash flow is really the critical thing. As Donna says, there's a saying that goes around that turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash flow is reality. And that is absolutely the truth. So cash flow is something that I suppose we should check very carefully and also plan for that. And I hope that in the next session, we're going to talk more about how to plan for cash flow well in advance, because it's a reality. And many businesses fail because of it.
Definitely.
Yeah, they have many contracts confirmed, etc. But cash flow is the issue. Okay, fantastic, Dana. It was an absolute pleasure having you in studio on this particular module. Just for reference, there's some other resources that you can go check out if you want to get a good understanding of management accounts. Make sure to go to outsourcedcfo.co.za. There's some brilliant information on there if you want to go learn more about what we've spoken about today. And then there are a range of links that we've got on the screen from Wikipedia, as well as ecommercefuel.com, how to actually read that balance sheet that we've been speaking about today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you tuning into this session. Be sure to catch the other three sessions with Donna, really elaborating more on management accounts and how you should apply them in your business. Until next time, goodbye.